Michael Parker. The stats are in, and they've been collected over a number of years, and I think we've got the overall averages now. So in the great total of the statistics, poets versus MCs, who's up?
It's still poets, 9-3 approximately, though this year no one claimed or conceded victory. Often it's quite obvious, you know, from the applause and whoops and cheers and general adulation, occasional boos, that's, you know, who's won. This year, because we've pushed each other to levels of brilliance never seen before, the audience, you know, were in ecstasy for every single one of us.
And is it true that, like professional wrestling in the 70s, that actually, you know, some of this hate is faked and there's actually a love between the poets and the MCs?
The hate isn't faked, but it's all done within the safe space of we do love each other an enormous amount. But, yeah, we are able to pick out the flaws in each other, often, you know, recognising that they are mirrors of the flaws within ourselves. And, yeah, really find some nasty ways of putting it into words. But, as I say, within the fact that we all love each other, if someone finds a wound and manages to poke their finger into it with great skill, then, you know, we give a round of applause. It's like, well done, you got me, ow.
And for those that don't know, how and why did this sort of competitive dynamic creep into the world of all things poetry?
Well, it started in a little pub down in Boyce's Street, where I was performing my poetry as a cabaret night, where a bunch of storytellers, singers, comedians used to do their thing. A couple of rappers came in, did their thing, and basically said, my rapper mates are better than you poets. And we said, come on then. So we set up the first Poets versus MCs, and it was just so much fun. It's like a game of football in a way. You go out and you definitely want to beat the opposition, but it's a game at the end of the day. A lot of people come and see the shows and say, well, how can you stand some of the things that those MCs say about you? And it's, well, you know, they're our friends, and they're playing the same game as us. It's a bit of a pantomime.
But it's already had permission from the world of poetry slams, this competitive dynamic. I'm quite interested in, you know, are you glad that's in there? Has it added something that wasn't there, you know, in the times of beat poetry? I don't think poetry slams were the main thing then.
Beat poetry is a big inspiration. Yeah, beat poets were the ones who really stepped up onto the stage and said, you know, this is something that has a theatrical element to it. Yeah, come and see it for that, and the rhythm and the beat and the music of it, and the we're up on stage creating a piece of theatre here, and this is another kind of theatre, just like Richard III, a well played Richard III. You want to boo him and want him to come to his hubristic end, but for a certain amount of the show, you're rooting for him and hope he gets some of his desires through his nasty evil methods. So it's another piece of theatre that, yeah, we whoop for the goodies and growl for the baddies. And and in the world that of poetry, where we're stepping up to the stage to, in essence, share our inner worlds and our visions, just to have that challenged by the audience in interacting with the audience, and not just say to the audience, sit down and take this because I am preaching my worldly wisdom, and you shall go away enlightened from my words, but actually to put this in front of an audience who is going to say, well, actually, I loved that, or yeah, go away, think again, maybe. Yeah, it's good fun. Good fun for performers and audience.
Two words, Michael Parker. Pam Ayres.
Yeah, she had her part to play in the unrolling of what could be done with poetry. Can't say I drew that much inspiration from her myself.
Well, I guess I was not mentioning her to decry her poetry, but there was a world of delivered poetry, and what you seem to be talking about as it's come into, you know, from that Beat generation, about interaction, about there doesn't need to be a fourth wall. And in fact, with the poetry slam world, for example, and poet versus MCs, the audience become even more important, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's the... With poets versus MCs, we get a big crowd like it's a rock concert, and just the same as you wouldn't expect to go to a music concert and just stand there passively. There's taking part from the audience. There's laughter and there's cheers and there's jeers and that you get as a poet or a rapper to be entering into the banter with the audience, and of course the cross stage banter, the call to raise your game, and
And in terms of back again this year with a grown up show, you're back again also doing the important youth work that you do.
Yes, it was a few years ago that I decided, well, this was too good a thing to just keep amongst ourselves, and basically the people that take part in the Poets versus MCs battles have an enormous amount of skills to share with young people who want a platform to express themselves. So yeah, I set up BITE, which is the Youth Poets versus MCs, and the poets and MCs from our show are the coaches for the young people. We take it to schools, we take it to youth clubs. We often step up onto a stage, say in an assembly at a school, where there will be some ideas of what rap and performance poetry are going to be. And we often shock an audience. Great whoops and cheers from an assembly. Show that poetry is not a dead thing, but alive and kicking. And that the rappers have got, you know, extra skills, aren't fitting to the stereotypes. None of our MCs are particularly interested in guns and bling. But there are some extremely skilled freestyling rappers who can just make it up as they go along, drawing inspiration from things that the audience throws at them.
And the popular view would be that, you know, rap was born of a particular scene and a particular demographic and a particular part of the world, and also from music, whereas poetry, you know, is spoken word. Is it that simplistic?
I started performing poetry after several bands in Brighton. I had a rock band and a blues band, and then an electro band, then a funk band, then a folk duo, all of which I was writing lyrics for, and then found myself without a band, but with words I'd scribbled, and so took to a stage and found that it was going down really well with a poetry audience. So there are essential similarities. People learn their rhythms and flow from all sorts of places. So I learned mine from music, just the same as most of the rappers learnt theirs from music.
Final question. So listening in here are, you know, budding poets, budding MCs that want to win. So can we just have a few winning tips?
Be yourself, have fun, and the authentic voice is a whole lot more powerful than the one that you just have crafted to win. I remember once writing a poem that I host a poetry slam night, and I've seen so many performers that and how they win a slam, and I thought, right, okay, I can write a poem that just wins a slam using all these particular skills. I wrote it and it was rubbish, but then I wrote a poem about my vanity in writing a slam winning poem, and that was coming from my authentic voice, and that poem was brilliant, and that poem did win slams.
Michael Parker definitely on the side of the poets in the Poets vs MCs, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah. We look forward to this. We raise our game. We want to tear them apart, and they want to tear us apart, with a little bit of a sprinkle of love thrown in as well.
With the lyrics of Imagine by John Lennon playing this interview out. Thanks very much, Michael Parker.
Cheers.